It's the interview with Melissa and David.
Hey,
kids.
Hey!
How are you doing, my friend?
Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. What an honor to talk to you. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine. You know, nice to be on the radio. I'm a radio guy, man. I grew up on the radio. I dreamed of the day that my songs would be on the radio, or that I could, you know, talk to them. To the DJs on the radio. That was huge to me when I was a kid. So, you know, it's like no matter how many years go by, you know, there's some things that are just still, they still tickle me to this day. So it's good to talk to you guys.
I'll give you an indication of how old I am, Kevin. When I first started in radio, there was a new song. I was a music director that we played called Keep Pushing. That's how old I am, Kevin. So when you were starting...
Nice. You're just a puppy.
Exactly.
You said it.
You and I started in the industry together. So, no, listen, that's one of my all-time favorite songs was Keep Pushing. What a great one. And that was your song, wasn't it?
That was pretty much the song that got me back in the band, because I had been... If and when you happened to read my memoir, which is almost done, and I have actually have a deadline that I have to finally turn it in after 5 years.
Oh, the right
of working on it.
The right, the storm out story.
It's a story of my life within and without REO Speedwagon, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, a lot of inside REO Speedwagon stories, road, you know, fun, but it's also a human story. As I say in the story here, no one would have accused me of being most likely to succeed back in high school, you know, and so this, you know what I mean? So this story is for, you know, is for everybody else, everybody that wasn't considered most likely to succeed. That doesn't mean that you can't succeed. That just means that you just need to find your niche and believe in yourself. So there's a lot of that kind of, you know, and there's also, you know, so it's inspirational, but it's also cautionary, you know.
Right.
I also did a lot of dumb stuff and made a lot of stupid mistakes.
No.
This book lays it all bare. So I'm excited about it. But Keep Pushing, to get back to your question, Keep Pushing was the song that I had demoed when I was out of the band, and somehow it made it back to the guys, and that was a song that kind of got us back together. So it's a very special song for me personally and for the band.
Well, you know, from the first line, I used to be lonely till I learned about living alone. I mean, right there.
Right.
That sets it up for it. Now, do you have a title yet for this memoir, Kevin?
Well, the working title at this point is, it's called kind of large print, Roll with the Changes, smaller print, My Life Within and Without REO Speedwagon. That's the working title. You just don't know what's going to happen once a book publishing company gets involved. But, you know, that seems like a pretty good title to me, and it kind of does sum up what the book is all about. You know, so I don't know. I've never written a book before. I don't know how any of this works. You know what I mean? One thing I have learned, though, is that, as it turns out, books are considerably longer than songs.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little heads up for any songwriter who's considering writing a book. You know, a song, you got, you know, a couple of verses, a chorus, maybe a bridge, but with a book, it's like, it's just this giant beast, and you're constantly, you know, like every time I would get to what I thought was the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, okay, great, I'm just going to go back to the beginning and just read this through, and it's going to be, you know, just a joyride through my life. And then every time you read through it, you go, wait a minute, how did I not see this? You know, then you're it's wild. But I've really enjoyed it. You know, I love to write. I love wordplay. I love just finding that, just the right word, because the English language is such a beautiful thing.
Right.
And it's easy to use the obvious words. Mm-hmm. But the English language is such that you can really... You know, you can find the nuance in any kind of thought that you're trying to express, and it's just so much fun to just keep, just tweaking it. You know, it's kind of like working on a car engine,
right?
I guess, you know, it's but I'm right there. You know, I actually have my first my first deadline as an author, as a matter of fact.
Oh, dear. Oh, Mr. Kevin. Oh, dear. We must have tea and scones
someday. Yes.
Like, I'm curious, though.
Mr. Cronin. I do prefer Mr. Cronin.
I'm curious, though, like, writing songs. It's like, to me, songs are like three-minute movies. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's a story.
Right.
So, and you have written some of the most amazing songs of our time. How do you, like, how do you come up with a song? Like I told somebody earlier that I really wanted, the one question that I really wanted to ask you was in the video for Can't Fight This Feeling. Like, when you're laying on the couch and you're, you know, you're saying that you wrote the song about this girl. Like, is that how it came about? Or is, like, how do you get ideas for songs like that?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, just... You know, since I started the book, which was, like I say, over 5 years ago, and by the way, I started it by accident. I didn't set out to write a book. I just found myself writing it, kind of like by accident.
It's therapy, right?
Yeah, it is. No, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
I was literally in a hotel room in Nottingham, England. It was the first.
Oh, dear, Mr. Cronin in England.
Yes, that's where I'm, my author just started. Across the pond.
But that's where you started it?
Yeah, I was. I almost got hit by a double-decker bus because I looked the wrong way in an intersection. And I got back to my hotel room, and, you know, it was in December of 2016, and I'd been away from home too much that year. We toured with Def Leppard all summer, which was great. And I just was like, I don't know how I'm going to make it through these next 30 days, you know. And if I start having, if I start getting stressed out or anxious or whatever, and I can't exercise or whatever it is, you know, writing is a good therapy for me, just as you said. So I was literally just journaling my way through a crazy night. And like I say, next thing I knew, I was journaling. I'm just going to write a journal of this tour of Great Britain. And then it ended up, you know, 5 years later, here I am. But as far as writing songs, you know, over the past 5 years, all of my writing energy has been oriented toward the book. And, you know, as time went by, I was like, wow, am I ever going to write another song, or that part of my life behind me? And it was just a passing thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then literally about 2 weeks ago, I was watching the sunset, and, you know, here in Southern California, and something hit me, and I started singing, and words started coming, and next thing I knew, I was up in my writing room, you know, with a guitar, and I had written a song. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know when it's going to hit you. You don't know how it's going to hit you. You don't know why it's going to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is I'm just ever grateful when it does. Because, like I said, I mean, this book was an accident, this new song. I didn't sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write a song. You know, I've never been able to work that way. Some people can. I wish I could, you know, because I have friends that are professional songwriters that get together and they have a session and you know what I mean? And they pound something out. And a lot of times great songs come from that. And, you know, so songs come from everywhere, but there's something I wish I could, you know, I try to explain it in the book, honestly, because it's probably, other than where did you guys get the name REO Speedwagon, it's probably the second most popular question is, you know, how do you write songs? Where do they come from?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of magical, I guess, is the only way to describe it.
Well, if you are just turning the radio on, we're talking with Kevin Cronin, lead singer, and good heavens, the icon from REO Speedwagon. They'll be here at the Coliseum Wednesday, March 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering, hey, this is KRRV. Why do you have Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon on there? Hey, my friend.
We have a mutual friend.
Yes, we do.
And Sarah Evans, because you guys did CMT Crossroads with Sarah Evans back in the day.
Oh, my. No, you don't understand. I love Sarah.
Yes,
she
we
is
do
awesome.
Too.
We did, you're right. We did CMT Crossroads together, and our paths have crossed a number of times since then. You know, it's funny because people don't think of REO Speedwagon as a country act. No way. But I will tell you that if you take any one of at least the songs that I've written for the band and you strip away the drums and the electric guitars and all the goodies, and it comes right down to
it's
to
in the mix.
Acoustic guitar, and yes. I can take any song that I've ever written. I can sit down and with an acoustic guitar and sing it for you. So there's a whole chapter in my more than one, but there's one specific chapter all about my experiences in Nashville and how. You know, coming from Chicago down to Nashville when I was 19 years old, and I was walking through Music Row, 19-year-old kid, just with my guitar case in hand, and for the first time, I felt like, you know, because in Chicago, you think you're a songwriter, and someone asks you what you do for a living, and you say songwriter, they look at you like, okay, but what are you really doing?
Yeah, right.
In Nashville, walking through Music Row with a guitar, you just feel like I was home, you know, and my musical journey has passed through Nashville so many times over the years, and it's just one of my favorite places to be. I was a minute from moving there years ago, and but Sarah Evans is just singing with her was just such an amazing experience because I get to learn some of her songs, mm-hmm. and she learned some of our songs, and I've got just a lot of Nashville friends that and you'd be surprised. Or maybe you wouldn't, but how many of the national artists, you know, in Sarah's age group were really, you know, whenever I meet them, the first thing they say to me is how they grew up listening to to my music,
yes.
which is just the biggest thrill you can ever get.
Like, I know a couple years back at Country Radio Seminar, you guys were like the special guest on the Sony boat.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us radio people, we were like, you gotta get on the boat because REO Speedway is gonna be on the boat. And I tell you what, you guys tore it up. Like, you were the highlight of that event at CRS that year, man. You guys are just awesome. And we're looking forward to seeing y'all.
Was that the riverboat?
Yes. Yeah, we're going down the Cumberland River.
Was that the riverboat with Brad Paisley?
Yeah, yeah.
With Brad Paisley. And, that was fun.
That sounds like a little bit of a party. I'm not sure.
Well, we always say, radio people, we always say it's like a captive audience because you're stuck on that riverboat. In General Jackson, you're going down there. You can't go anywhere, right? And they were like, no, REO Speedwagon is going to be there, so you got to be there, man. So it was a blast. You guys tore it up, and I mean that in a good way.
You're going to be here Wednesday, March 16th at the Rapides Parish Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Also, I saw you on an episode of Ozark one time, one of my favorite shows. Cool. That was a hoot. What was that like for you, Kevin?
Oh, dude, you have no idea. So we went down to this super secret undisclosed location that looks an awful lot like the Ozarks,
right?
And to do the scene, and they treated us. I mean, that, you know, Jason Bateman is just and Laura Linney are just exactly what you would hope that they were like off camera, just like
love it.
Sweet, cool, like inclusive. They made it feel great. So I had a couple of lines in the scene, right? So they gave me a little printout of the little scene that we were in, and on the top of the print, and they had been so nice to us, so accommodating. At the top of the printout, it says in quotes, "Kevin Cronin was here," and I thought, isn't that? How sweet of them to really just make me feel, you know, at home. And I thought nothing of it. We did the scene. We had a great time. You know, we were off. And this was like in August of 2019. And the show wasn't set to drop until March of 2020, which was going to be forever, right? Well, then when it finally dropped, I'm sitting at home with my family because we're all stuck at home because of COVID, mm-hmm. right? And you know, all three of my adult kids are home, and we're watching it. And all of a sudden, episode 3 comes on, and it says Kevin Cronin was here.
Wait a minute, it's the title.
They named the episode.
That's
awesome, man. How cool is that?
That is so awesome.
So the punchline is, for the first time, like in I can't remember, you know, since they were, you know, like. Since my boys were 6 and my daughter was 8, that was pretty much the first time that they thought I was cool.
So it was
a nice moment.
My dad, he won another Grammy. No, it's not that.
He made it to Ozark.
He was on Ozark. That's God. Well, listen.
No, he's an Ozark. My dad's an Ozark. That was the claim to fame.
He's somebody.
That's so
Wednesday,
awesome.
March 16th.
Yeah, finally.
Kevin, Kevin Cronin with REO Speedwagon at the Coliseum. And if you ask nicely, I'll play drums with you. I'll keep pushing.
Whatever.
You know, if you beg.
Nice.
Maybe. Yeah. But listen.
That's a hard groove, man. I'll tell you what.
I know. I've been working it for years,
right?
Kevin. I know.
I'll tell you what.
But you bang it. It's
yeah, I was just going to say, people think that's just a simple three-chord song.
No.
There's, yeah.
Too funny. Well, I know we're running out of time, and this has been an honor for me,
and I know it's been
an honor for David as well. Thank
all
you
over
so
it.
Much for taking the time to call in and let us know what's going on and getting to talk about CRS back in the day. Now it makes me want to go back to Nashville. I'm just saying.
And we'll see you March 16th at the Coliseum. Man. Woo!
Well, dude, let's do this again. It's really been a pleasure talking to you guys. So let's stay in touch.
We'll do, my friend.
Check us out on Facebook,
Instagram,
and Twitter.
Please follow me now.
The Melissa and David Show.